Well, dear friends, I'm going to invite you to be seated, please. Just before I introduce our guest speaker, I want to just a couple of things I feel would be helpful. First would be Nails in His Hands project. Last month, we delayed the project for Nails in His Hands to combine our efforts with Restore HB. So the next two Saturdays, Nails in His Hands are inviting you and me to participate in three-hour work projects. So this Saturday from 9 until noon, we are grouping with other churches in our community. Now, you know, we've just come off of an outstanding Easter sunrise service, working with 10 other churches. And out of that, God's working to have community churches pull together. And I'm so glad to help be a part of helping these pastors and their congregations to get together. So that's what I'm asking now this congregation. Would you consider this Saturday participating? We will be meeting at 8 o'clock. It's our typical startup time for Nails. So the usual good little treats that Nails provides, breakfast, snacks, and then we all kind of carpool to the project. That'll happen as well May 5th. Another project, a different project. You'll be enjoying yourself, and it's a lot of fun with the idea of getting to see other congregations. I want to also just highlight, we are grouping ourselves together for the National Day of Prayer, which is May the 3rd. It's a Thursday. We don't have, we may have the screen up there, but we're excited at the City Hall Amphitheater. It's the way I want to describe that, where the churches again will be praying for our nation. So I'm thrilled personally how we're working with other churches. They're excited that Hope Chapel's a part of that. And you are Hope Chapel, so thank you for allowing me. One other thing I need to describe. I'm so excited when I see that big 6-0 on the screen. It's like, that's a big number. Isn't it a big number? I don't feel 60. But Ainsley, my dear wife, came to me and said, Paul, how would you like to spend your 60th birthday? And would you like to be with just family? Would you like to be with this group of pastors? Would you like to so forth? And I said, I would like to have lunch provided for my faith family. And that's what's happening at 12:15 today. So please consider coming back. You have to eat lunch somewhere. So instead of having your family member say, hey, go grab that pizza down the way, say, let's all go to Hope Chapel. I think you'll enjoy the meal. It is Lucci's lasagna, and we will have even some vegetarian lasagna for those that may... No, we don't? Okay, you're out, but... Separate the meat. It's worth it. We will have pizza for the children. It's going to be an exciting time. Do try to be here about 12 noon because I'm asking for a group photo of everybody here in attendance up on the stage. So that's some of the things. I'm not asking for much, but my wife is here shelling it out, and I'm grateful for our leadership in their part. And so thank you. I do want to add, this means a lot to me today, and I'm grateful. Many of you, one of the things in Scripture is that Scripture utilizes and shows that through meals, covenants are made. And you and I have made a lot of covenants. God's led us in His Word. We've given direction. You responded. You said, yes, Jesus, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll lay that down. There's been a lot of cool, amazing covenants. And so what better way than to just say, let's have a meal together because God's allowed us to journey together through all these many seasons of our life, growth, and development. So I thank God for you, whether you can make it or not, but again, please come back. We'd love that. Well, I want to, first of all, want to welcome my wife, Ainsley, and just show her off for a moment here. Thank you, honey. Because we're about to show off our children, aren't we? And are we very excited? And I'm going to invite Pastor Mike Sander, who is our speaker, his wife, Emily Sanders, who is coming up here. Yep. Let me just, by and large, go down memory lane with you and the Sander family. Mike Sanders, when we arrived here in 02, Mike Sanders was a part of the youth group, just a part of the youth group. Went off to Life Pacific College, graduated in 05. That time, my daughter, his wife, Emily, she was a junior at Huntington Beach High School when we transferred from Riverside area, from Banning to here. So naturally, she had the call to ministry, and I couldn't think of a finer man to escort her to college. So in that, naturally, a match made in heaven, we are thrilled. A couple of things about Mike you really want to remember and know. His appointment from a Foursquare license was here in 05. Upon graduating, he developed not only service here at church, both of them doing life groups with our young adults, our college, and then all of a sudden, God started to add more things to him and just took our young adults, called Vision at the time, to just extraordinary heights and just great fruitfulness, both of them. In that process, Mike became our very first missions director here. Many of you say, how did our missions committee develop? And our missions director, Mike Sanders, was the first and helped us in many ways to develop our GO teams and our missions departments. You could see in the history of that, our missions contributions accelerated under his leadership. And then we recognized that we can't keep such a good couple like this in-house. We need to, once again, as we do, launch them into ministry. And so it was December of 2012 that we said goodbye on this platform to them, where they went and pastored, currently are the lead pastors to Vision Foursquare Church in Murdy Park here in Huntington Beach. So I'm thrilled to introduce my children to you, but really our fellow colleagues and ministers in the gospel. We're grateful. So would you welcome both of them? And I wanted Emily to bring greetings before Mike brings the message. So welcome, you guys.
Good morning, everyone. It really is nice to be...
I'm going to get my hugs, sweet.
Public hugs. Public hugs. It is nice to get to be with you all this morning, and where we launched into our pastoral plunge. Oh, golly. It is nice to be back with you all and to see so many faces that we love so dearly. And it's always such a treat when we come back and people who we know see us and receive us so warmly, and we appreciate that so much. You guys all have a special place in our hearts. You're so kind to check up and ask how the church is doing. And I'll just publicly say, it's been a really hard nearly 5 years, hasn't it? I mean, in all honesty, it's been very hard. It's so interesting because we grow so much through pain. And I really, really wish that we grew through joy and easy and prosperous times the way that we do when things are really hard and stretching. And we've had a lot of experiences that have made us question where the Lord is at in our lives, question who we are. You know, but I think it's been so neat because we've been able to push into it, and rather than run away from the things that have been hard, we've really leaned into it. And the Lord has really changed and grown us, and we look forward to the prosperous season, because I know that prosperity shows what growth happened during the painful times. And my encouragement to you this morning is, if you're going through something that's difficult, that it's okay. That the Lord has a purpose for our pain, and that he wants to grow you, and that nothing is wasted. Absolutely nothing is wasted. And so if there is something that is weighing you down or on your heart or is confusing, that's okay, because the Lord sees the tears that you cry, every single one of them. He knows those hypothetical conversations that you have going on in your head, right? Discussing it, working it out with yourself. He loves you, and he's going to use it all. And so thank you for letting me say, I could just keep preaching.
I know.
Do you want to sit down? No, but he knows I'm not kidding. Anyway, I love you all. I love you too.
Thank you. Yeah. I love you too. Yeah. Good morning, Hope Chapel. Wow, it's so good to be with you this morning. And I got to agree with Emily that I've grown a lot in the last 5 years. A lot of pain, you know, it's called growing pains for a reason, but I know this one thing that I've learned, and is that God loves me. And that's a lesson that I am so grateful that I have really allowed God to show me, and that's the message I have for you this morning, is that God loves you. And so I just want to check in. Is this my time on the back here? I got 22 minutes to preach to you. Is this right? Okay, well, we'll see how far we can get, but I'm excited. But I just want to actually just say that it is an honor to be with you this morning, and thank you, Pastor Paul and Ainsley, for allowing me to be here with you guys. This is family, so there's many faces that we love and that we recognize, and there's some that we don't know, and so we're excited to meet those that we don't know and get to know you. But I do have to say, Pastor, well, happy birthday. And 60th birthday is something really great to celebrate. We honor you and we love you. So again, thanks for having me. Well, I've heard that the theme for Hope Chapel this year is that God's love to be seen. That God's love seen in 2018. And the verse would be to simply just love your neighbor. Is this right? That we would love our neighbor. And we've got a lot of neighbors around us. Is that right? There's a lot of different kinds of neighbors. And in fact, Jesus told us that our neighbor is everyone around us. When he had that moment with the Good Samaritan, in fact, that the neighbors around us are actually the ones that we might not like that much, the ones that we maybe can consider enemies or those that we don't like. And so Jesus is actually telling us it's everyone around us, and it's actually the people that we might not like that much, the ones that we might see as unlovely, not that lovable. So with that, I believe that Pastor Paul has shared some messages. Is this right, Pastor Paul, about God loves in certain individuals? God loves the prostitutes. God loves the addicts, the alcoholics. God loves the widows. God loves the orphans. In fact, we just simply know God loves sinners. Jesus said, I have come not for those who are well, who are healthy. I've come for the sick, those that need help. And so God loves all of these individuals, and we've seen that his love needs to be seen, and that we actually go out and we love those people, love our neighbors, and we've got all kinds of them. And God's asking you and I, as the church and his followers, to go out and show his love to people. So God's love needs to be seen in this world. He wants to use you and I. And so when we look at these individuals that need to be loved, it's easy to put a label on them and to see them as the addict or the alcoholic or the person with this struggle. And I want to encourage you with this, that there's some points in the Gospels where it will say that Jesus went into a synagogue and it says he healed a man with a withered hand. You guys know that story where Jesus healed? But this, did you see how it described him? It says a man with the withered hand. He didn't say his identity was the withered hand man. He said he was a man with a withered hand. And I think that that's actually the appropriate description of all of us, because we are a man, we are a woman, and we've got issues, we've got struggles. But so often these identities get slapped on us. We are the addict, we are the one who's struggling with these issues that we have. And I just want you to know that this morning, God doesn't label you according to your struggles or what you're going through. You are a man, you are a woman created in the image of God, and you deserve the love, and you actually need love. We need to be loved by God. But sometimes those labels that we get put on, that get put on our lives, the leper, the one that's just the outcast, it's hard to love them because they have this title, they have this label. But beyond that struggle, beyond that title is a son and daughter of God. And may we see this just the way that God is. He sees right past your struggle. He sees right past the things that I will go through. And he sees his son and he sees his daughter. And that's the way that we need to see God's love seen, is that we need to see the way that God sees. And so here's what I wanted to simply tell you this morning, that I have a message. And this is it. Jesus loves you. I got a simple message for you this morning. I just came, I wanted to share my heart with you. I wanted to come to some extent just to minister to you out of what I share with Emily. It said, I've learned a lot in the times that I've been here since 2000. I came in here, I actually sat right around over here, sat right there, and I was 19 years old. And from that point of being 19 to up here standing on the stage with a microphone and now lead pastoring for the last almost about 5 years, I have learned a lot about how much God loves me. And I wanted to share some of those things with you, and hopefully God will lead me through this. But the title of today's message is simply this. It's I Am Loved. And I just wanted to explain the title, because I could have labeled it You Are Loved, and I could preach to you and say, no, God loves you and you are loved. But the reality is, I want this to be a personal message that you tell yourself, I am loved, that you walk out of here today saying that the message of the title is for me, and it's a self-proclaimed message titled, I am loved. I am loved. You are loved. Go ahead, tell yourself, I am loved. Okay? If you can get that today through our time together and leave here feeling that I am loved, then God will have had his way. Amen. Would you do something with me? Would you welcome with me the love of God? I want you to not just hear this. I don't want it to just be something that I have to share. I want us to feel and experience the love of Jesus today. Would you close your eyes? Can we do this? Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, you know what each one of us here need today. And Lord, I feel you put in my heart that we just need to simply be loved on by you. As a father who wants to love his children, Lord, we welcome your love. We welcome the love of Jesus. That God, we might not just hear, but experience the unconditional, unrelenting love that you have for each one of us. God, we're so thankful that you love us, and we welcome that love. We welcome your Holy Spirit to have your way in us today, Lord, to minister to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to John chapter 13, verse 23, and as you find your place, and we'll actually, I believe the verse will be up on the screen. It's up there right now. But I wanted to share a story with you, and it was about the time that I told Emily that I loved her. And this was on Valentine's Day. And so when I wanted to tell Emily that I loved her, we had been dating approximately 5 months. I liked her for a couple weeks before that. And so there is this, I had felt like pretty confident about how I felt about her, and I was going to tell her how I felt. I was going to tell her I loved her. It's on Valentine's Day. We're down at Salt Creek Beach. We brought some bikes to ride around, and we had this nice little picnic on the grass, and I didn't have enough courage, and I kind of missed that moment. I was too nervous and scared, so I knew, okay, well, fine. By the time we get to the evening, we're going to be up on the top of the world in Laguna Beach. It's a beautiful place. You can see the ocean on this side. You can see the mountains and the valley on this side. And so it's sunset, and I finally get the courage to tell Emily how I feel about her. And I told her, I said, Emily, I love you. And to my shock, her response was this. She said, you mean you love me like a friend? Or are you in love with me as in you're in love with me? And I was like, well, I think it's both. I just wasn't expecting my confession of love to be challenged. Yes, it's both of those. As a friend, as I am in love with you. But I think why I share that story is that I believe that Jesus wants you and I to know very confidently how he feels about us, how he feels about you. And I actually think that it's okay to question God, how do you love me? Do you love me like a friend, God? Yes, I love you like a friend. Do you love me as in you're loving me? Yes, I am in love with you. I loved you before you were born. I knew all of your days. See, it's okay to question how he loves us, but here's the point that he wants you to know. He wants you to get to the point where you are so confident in how he feels about you. He wants you to know so badly how much he's in love with you and how much he loves you. So, like Emily, it's all right to just come back and have, like me, to say, yes, I love you. I'm in love with you. I love you like a friend, and I love you in all these ways. And God wants you to hear this morning that he loves you. Amen. If you got that verse, I wanted to go through and just look at a couple of things that John, the apostle, had to share with us. And how he saw himself. And in John chapter 13, verse 23, the background to this is the Last Supper. The disciples are gathered together. This is the night that Jesus is going to be betrayed. And it says that he's sitting around at the table. And John, who is the author of the Gospel of John, is writing this. Look what he writes about himself. This is amazing. Look at what he says. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. Here's what we're going to do. I just want to show you five times, kind of try to wrap your mind around this, because I have to do the same thing. There's five times John, in writing his gospel, writes himself into the story and gives himself the self-title of the disciple whom Jesus loved. Look, it goes on to say, this is at the crucifixion. We just had Good Friday service here. We shared about the seven last sayings of Jesus, and this was one of them. It says in 19:26 of John, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." It goes on after the resurrection. You see this happen in John 20, verse 2. It says, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." This is another appearance after Jesus' resurrection. They said, well, so Peter said, "Well, I'm going back fishing." All of the other disciples said, "Well, I'm going with you." And they go out in the boat and they're fishing. And this is what it says in verse 20, 21, verse 7. It says, "That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore turned to Peter and said, 'It's the Lord.' And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work. He threw himself into the sea." And so there's another moment even after this that they're on the shore. They have breakfast with Jesus. Jesus cooks them some fish. They go walking and said, "Peter, come on, let's have a talk. Let's talk about how you denied me three times. Let's go. I'm going to ask you if you love me three times. We're going to restore this relationship." They're walking along. And so Peter turns back, it says. He turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. And it says, "This is the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and said, 'Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?'" I just wanted to bring these five verses up to you to show you that John, who's writing these moments, he actually wrote himself in the story and gave himself that title. I don't know if that is amazing to you. It's amazing to me, because I believe that there's a lot that we have to learn from John and his self-title of the disciple whom Jesus loved, because he got it. And I ask questions like this when I read this. I have to ask myself, does John think that Jesus loves him more than the other disciples? Is that why he writes in, "Oh, I'm the one that Jesus loved. I'm like the real special one"? Or I think, wait a second, is this like a title that Jesus himself actually gave John? "John, you are the disciple in whom I love. You're the one I love, John." And here's the truth. Jesus did not love John more than the other disciples. He doesn't have these favorites. He didn't just say, well, here's what you have to understand, is that Jesus loved perfectly. He loved perfectly. He didn't say to you, well, "You're the disciple I love. I really love you, the disciple love. And well, you're the one that I like. And well, you're the one that I tolerate." Does that sound right? That doesn't sound right, does it? Here's why I know that that's not true, because we know that God is love. God is love. How many OSL students know this, that everything that we see in creation is all an expression of God's love? God is love. Everything he made was for our benefit, for our enjoyment, because he loves us. If God is love, and we know this, that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, is this true? That when Jesus was here, he loved perfectly. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's how we see when John is describing himself as the disciple whom he loved. John just got it. He takes it. He runs with it. He owns it. He says, I am loved by Jesus. And I wonder how each one of us could learn from John to take on that same title over lives, that the title over our life is, that the banner over me is love. That I am the disciple in whom Jesus, I am the son and daughter of God that he loves. I am loved. I am loved by him. John got it. It's amazing. There's this unconditional, there's unrelenting love that he has for each one of us. And that's why we sing the song, "Your Love is Relentless." Your love is relentless. That's why, have you guys heard the song? That's why we sing the, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Because does anyone know this song? And he fights till I'm, he leaves the 99, he comes after me. That's why we sing about the love of God, because it's so amazing. And so God's trying to communicate his love to you. The demonstration of the cross is all about his love for you. He's opened up his arms. He's given his very life to communicate to you that he loved you while you were still a sinner. Before you even wanted anything to do with him, he was loving you. He loved you before you were born. He loved you. He saw all of your days as before there was not one of them lived, and he loved you. His love is an everlasting love. But here we are today, and I can guarantee you that some of us might have a hard time believing in his love for us. You may have a level of, oh, God loves me to a certain degree. And you may have, you may be here this morning and you may think, well, I don't actually know how much God loves me. And sometimes it's actually maybe hard to believe that he will love you. And I remember sitting here, like I told you, at age 19, having lived a life, being a punk rock kid, and doing all kinds of things that I would have regretted and had made mistakes. But yet God loved me before that. He met me. He met me here. He raised me up. God loved on me here. And so I am just more and more convinced than ever before that it doesn't matter what I do, there's nothing that can separate me from the love that God has for me in Christ Jesus. And that's what he wants for you. Amen? Nothing can separate his love that he has for you. And that's incredible to understand. It's the unconditional love. You see, Jesus, he loves with an everlasting love. And I believe that it was something that John simply received, and he ran with it, and he knew with absolute confidence that that's who he was. He didn't have the title of he was the outcast. He didn't have the title of leper. He gave himself the most accurate title that he could have ever given himself. He says, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. That's the title that he gave himself. I believe that's a title that God wants you to give yourself this morning. So we have a lot to learn from John and this declaration of himself. And I wanted to simply share this first point that's actually part of a problem. And this is that you can't give what you don't have. We want to see God's love seen. We want to go out as a church. We want to go out as followers of Jesus. We want to go out as disciples. And we want to love these peoples. We want to love our neighbors. We want to love the outcasts and all these people that we could go out and we can list out every person that would be a minority or someone that would be hard to love. God wants to use us to love these people so that God's love can be seen. But we've got a problem. And the problem is you can't give what you have not received. And this is what 1 John 4:19 says. It says, we love each other. We love the outcasts. We love all these people that Jesus loved on. We love them. We love each other because he first loved us. So the order, what's the order? You have to first be loved. How can you go out and love and let God's love be seen in your life if you don't let God love you? If you don't allow him to minister to your heart and allow him to just communicate his unconditional love for your life. See, Jesus himself was loved by the Father before he did anything. He was loved by the Father before he did anything. You see Jesus at his baptism, and what does it say? It says the voice came out from heaven from the Father, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus didn't do anything yet. And yet the Father said, I love you. And here, and I have to be honest with you, most of my life, of 18 years of being a believer since I was 19 and I came in here to Hope Chapel, most of my life has been trying to separate me doing something so that God loves me. If I do something for him, if I serve him, well, then God will love me. It's been trying to get out of that place and go back to the beginning like Jesus and just be the son who is loved. That's what I want to, I just want to be the son that is loved. And out of that pure place, I can then minister. But I have to be honest with you. From the time that I was saved, there has been, which I think a lot of us can get into this place because we feel unworthy, that we have to earn God's love. And you know what it is? That it's described in the prodigal son. There was the good son who did everything right, and there's the good kid. You've got some good kids here. You've been in church your whole life. You've made a lot of good decisions. You do things well. But then there's the prodigal son that goes out and messes everything up. Is this true? And then the good son's like, what do you mean, Dad? You're going to welcome this guy back and you're going to throw a party for him? This isn't right. And so he's so mad at how the father loves on the son, who is the prodigal, who messed everything up and squandered all of the family's wealth, but yet here the father is loving on him. The problem with that is the one who came back, the prodigal son, came back and basically just wanted to be a slave. I'll go back to my father and I'll just tell him that just make me like one of you. I'm not worthy to be your son, but I'm worthy to be your slave. And I have to be honest that that's the approach that I have taken. Not intentionally. I don't want that. But there's a lot of healing that sometimes needs to happen in your life so that you can just become the son loved, period. So I became the son that came back from all the things that I did wrong. Said, God, I'll serve you the rest of my life. My life is yours now. But I just see myself more as a slave than a son. And so God has been working in my heart this process of me just trying to become the son that is free and just loved by him. Maybe some of you feel that way. You feel like you have to earn his love. And God's telling you, no, don't be like me. Don't be the slave. Be the son. Come back. In fact, the father stopped him from finishing the statement. Don't finish that statement. Don't just call yourself a slave. You are my son. Put the ring on, put the robe on, put the sandals on. Let's throw a party. You are a son. You are a daughter. You don't have to earn God's love. You didn't do anything for him before he came and loved you by dying on the cross for you, did you? Did you do anything for him? Did he love you then? He loved me during that all that time I was a punk rock kid and partying. He loved me then and he loves me now. But the problem is that I have to allow him to love me. I have to let him love me. I have to be loved. You know, I have a lot more to say, and I think that we're kind of getting close to the time limit that we have together. And I think that when we see there's this the problem we have is that you can't give what you have not received. There's something really important for you and I to understand is that we just need to be loved by him. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. That's what we are. And I think that I have the last point I wanted to share with you this morning was that John went on to write the gospel and also 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we see that as John writes about himself being the disciple whom Jesus loved, he also writes these other letters. And when he writes them, the amazing thing about this is how much John talks about love more than any other writer. In fact, in the New Testament, John writes in the Gospel of John 39 references to love. In 1 John, there's 26 references to love. See, that's a lot that's compared to the other books in the New Testament. Matthew wrote about love 11 times. And then you see Mark wrote about love 4 times. Philippians, the book of Philippians, 6 times. The next runners up would be the book of Romans has 16 references to love. And then you see 1 Corinthians with 15. And obviously a lot of that would be the chapter of love, 1 Corinthians 13. But here's what I see. John dominates the New Testament with his understanding of love. Because why would he have dominated the whole understanding and topic of love? Why? Because he allowed himself to be loved. He saw himself for who he truly was. He was the disciple in whom Jesus loved. And I think if you and I could learn from John and accept that title for our lives, then maybe we'd have a lot more easier time being the beloved. And that's the last point I wanted to share with you this morning. Be the beloved. God wants his love to be seen, but what may be God's love, what may be stopping God's love from being seen is that you are not allowing God to love you. You've got to receive it. I love better when God loves me unconditionally. I love how he meets me where I'm at. I love how he comforts me. I love how he encourages me. I love how this is all out of a relationship that I have with God. And so as I walk with him and he encourages me and he loves me, because here's the reality. It begins to be like Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I just keep looking back. God, you still love me? Your goodness, you're okay, and you keep going. You keep following God, and it's faithful, goodness, mercy, love. And that's how I get from age 19. I get 18 years later, and more than ever, it doesn't matter what I do, I know this to be so true. God loves me. So we can ask, God, what do you mean, how do you love me? Ask him so that he can make you feel so confident. I believe that all of us are on a journey to become free, not in just trying to earn God's love, but just simply just being a son, being a daughter who's loved by him. Can I pray for you, invite the worship team up? Is that right, Pastor Paul? If the worship team could come out, and I would just love if I could just take a moment to pray for you and to minister God's love to you this morning. Would you close your eyes? With God's love here and present among us. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have for each person in this room, for those who are watching online. God, you know the things that may stop us from feeling your love, the guilt or the shame that we may have in our life because of wrong that we've done. And but we just need to look to you, Jesus, with the compassion and love that you have in your eyes, that would look to us as your sons and daughters to say, I already paid for that. I've forgiven you. Receive my love for your life. God wants to tell you here who are struggling with how God might feel about you, what he might think about you. God wants you to understand this, that God is greater than your heart. Where your heart is condemning you, where there is guilt or there's shame that's blocking this love of God that wants to come into your heart, God says, I'm greater than your heart. I am greater than your condition. I am greater than what you are struggling with. I'm greater than the addiction. I'm greater than anything that you would go through. And my love wants to come into your heart to transform you. God, it's your love, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. God, it's your love that changes us. Lord, I pray that you would remove any barrier, any obstacle from us receiving your love in Jesus' name, to be removed off of our lives. That God, there would just be a complete acceptance of who we are. We are loved by you. We are loved, God, that your love coming into our hearts and lives would allow us to let your love be seen. That we would, Lord, receive your love, that we would be loved by you, and God, that we would be the beloved, that God's love would be seen in our lives. Lord, help us to see the people around us, our neighbors, the people that are outcast, the people that get shoved aside, that God, you would use each one of us today, this week, to show your love to those that you're trying to love. But God, it starts with us. We can't give what we haven't received. God, give us your love this morning in an incredible way, God. We welcome your love to just fill our hearts this morning. God, fill us up with the love that you have for each one of us in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. Like, we just thank the Lord for his love for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Pastor Paul, did you want to come up and share? Thank you, Lord.
Pastor Mike, thank you. I want to actually, if we could, sing this song. We're going to come back. And if you would find in your Bibles, Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, 19 and 20. I believe the Lord wants to seal what Pastor Mike's directed us to, and I think it's going to be important. So let's go ahead and find that. And as you lead us in worship, we'll be back to pray. Wrap things up.
Here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, 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 I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, oh, here I stand, arms open wide. Whoa, I am yours, and you are mine. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Just communicating how we feel like the Lord has been speaking to us about how to address a conclusion here for us, but a beginning for many of us. So Emily feels she has a word. Emily, why don't you go ahead and begin?
As we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord kept putting on my heart, and I can't kind of get rid of it, so I'm just going to throw it out there and see for whom it may be. But I felt like the Lord was saying that there are some of you who have been loved the wrong way by very significant people in your life. They've loved you imperfectly. They've loved you incorrectly. And you've taken that experience that you have, and you imagine that the Lord is going to love you the same way that those people loved you, broken and not trustworthy and imperfectly. And sometimes I know that we come to the Lord and we say, I want you to love me, but I don't even know what that would feel like because I've never even been loved well. And the Lord wants to break that in your life because he wants you to be able to experience the way that he loves you, the way that he loves you, not interpreting the love that you're trying to receive from him through the lens of people who have hurt you. And if you don't mind, I'm going to pray for you real quickly before we wrap up because I know that the Lord wants to touch that area of your life. Would you bow your heads with me? And would you raise your hand if you felt like that was something for you? Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. And God, that you don't settle to allow us, your children, to have a half version of you, but that you want us to be able to enjoy the fullness of your love. And Lord, I come against the enemy right now that would want to come and stop us from fully experiencing your love because of the way that we have been hurt by others in our past. God, I pray that you would help us to be able to discern and to be sensitive when you want to come and love us in the way that we need it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be brave and to be able to trust you a little bit more so that we can enjoy more of what you have for us. that we would become brave and allow you to love us, even when we do not feel worthy. Lord, I pray that you would come in and minister to us in the moments when we feel the ugliest, the dirtiest, and like the biggest failure. Lord, that's when you come in and your peace ministers to us. Lord, I pray that even this week, we will come back next Sunday with testimonies of the way that you spoke and ministered powerfully as never before in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Emily. I'm also wanting to bring up Hosea. If you found that in Hosea chapter 2, let me read this because I don't believe I've ever done this, basically a wedding ceremony. You certainly have clergy here to marry you today, but that's what God's addressing. I want to marry you. And it's in Hosea chapter 2, 19 and 20. If you look in your Old Testament, you'll see Isaiah, then you'll see Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, moving toward the New Testament, Daniel, and then Hosea, very small, he's a minor prophet. Hosea was asked by God, I want you to go marry a prostitute on the street. Hosea, go marry her. That prostitute he had children by. She was unfaithful, went back to her prostituting, and it broke his heart. It was a living example to a nation. You are all unfaithful to me, God says. Hosea, my prophet's marrying an unfaithful woman. You're unfaithful to your God. Pretty living lesson, isn't it true? And then God says, but I'm going to marry you, nation. I believe God's saying the same. This is how God spoke, and I believe is speaking to us. Hosea chapter 2, 19 and 20. I will betroth you to me forever, forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Interesting verse, but if you're willing to accept what it is, we had a great reminder and challenge to say, boy, accept the love of God. But there's something about people that are in love. One thing for Mike to say, Emily, I love you. But he took it to the point of saying, I want to marry you now. I believe God wants to do that for some of you that feel, where's my relationship with God? There's something of a covenant going on. So if you can receive with the intention, like God went out to a whole nation, you might be saying that to a whole congregation. So Pastor Mike, would you come and just speak that prayer and just receive just that you would say, Lord, I really want to be faithful to you. I know you're faithful to me. I accept the challenge. I belong to you.
And would you say this to me? Say, Jesus, I receive your love. I am yours, and you are mine. You are faithful to your word that you love me unconditionally without any regard. Thank you for your love. I receive it. I live for you, and I know that you love me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's put our hands together and thank the Lord. Some beautiful things. Well, Pastor Mike, well done, friend. Matter of fact, I think we should have turned my birthday lunch to a wedding reception. What do you think, huh? With you at the honored table, that is. Yeah. Well, I want to welcome our couples who are coming forward for for altar prayer. And Pastor Mike, would you go ahead and grab that dear Emily? I just adore her, too, and please, Ainsley's going to escort you both to the double glass doors where you can be greeted by these wonderful friends of mine here at Hope Chapel. So we're going to dismiss you in prayer. We're going to see you out there for some fresh donuts and coffee, all free, especially if you're our guest here. Thank you for turning in your connection card. We want to get better acquainted. We want to be of some help to you. We know the Lord will do just that through us for you. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for the miracles happening in this room today. Thank you, Lord, for a profound message. When it breathes life into us, we're a new person. Lord, thank you for the new people here, new in Jesus. And Lord, bring your blessing now. Let it touch everything that we're involved with this week, this month, this year, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.